You're listening to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service.
And welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for August 1999. This is issue number 173, and this is Fred Vobey behind the microphone. I'm the publisher of the DX Audio Service. If you'd like to become a member of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service and live in the United States of America, the cost is $25. To members in Canada, the subscription rate is $28. To Mexico and the Caribbean, it's $32. And to Europe and elsewhere, it's $38. Those prices are also the renewal rates. Tapes are sent by a first-class mail, and you keep the cassettes. If you'd like to subscribe, make a check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated and send it to me at 706 Mackenzie Drive. That's Mackenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. If you have any questions, you can reach me at 419-228-4199. However, allow a few days for a return call if I'm not in. The fax number is 419-221-1609. The members action line for members only is 419-224-1609. If you're on the internet, you can send me email at fredv, that's F-R-E-D-V, at nrcdxas.org. And the National Radio Club's webpage is appropriately at www.nrcdxas.org. Well, we have a full magazine on side one, so let's jump right into the DX stuff. Here's Mr. Jerry Starr.
Hi, everybody. Jerry Starr with another edition of AM Switch from the pages of the National Radio Club's DX News Magazine. Call letter changes start us off this month, and we have a lot of them on 680 WNAI Newburgh, Kentucky, changes to WJIE. 730 WGSE Charleston, South Carolina, becomes WSCM. On 890 WQIS in Laurel, Mississippi, changing to WEEZ. On 900 KRRA West Covina, California, changes to KALI. WKAJ Saratoga Springs, New York, becomes WUAM. NWURD in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, changes to WEGM. On 930 KBFW, Bellingham, Washington, changes to KIXT. 950 WIDB in Chicago, they change their call to WNTD. They originally had changed to WNPD, but now they're changing to WNTD. 990 WERK in Muncie, Indiana, which is silent, by the way, is changing to new calls, which probably means they will be coming back on the air. The new call will be WLHN. On 1140 WXBV, Kentwood, Michigan, they become WKWM. 1220 KBNO, Denver, Colorado, changing to KLVZ. 1230 KYVA, Gallup, New Mexico, changes to KTHR. 1280 KHEP, Phoenix, Arizona, changing to KTKP. 1400 KMXN, Fort Payne, Alabama, changes to WDLL. 1320 WTCK, Greensboro, North Carolina, changing to WCOG. 1350 WOAM, Peoria, Illinois, becomes WTAZ. 1360 KFDJ in Glendale, Arizona, changing to KCTK. 1370 WVAX, Lincoln, Illinois, becomes WLLM. 1380 WRBQ, St. Petersburg, Florida, changing to WWMI. 1430 KALI in San Gabriel, California, becomes KMRB. 1430 WNRJ, Newark, New Jersey, changes to WNSW. 1470 WBUL in Shepherdsville, Kentucky. This station was silent. They have now returned to the air with the new call, WLCR. 1510 KMSL, Ontario, California, becomes KIKA. 1530 KLRA in England, Arkansas, becomes KLEC. And on 1570 WYHI in Fernandina Beach, Florida, becomes WGSR. Some applications of interest, most of which include Canadians changing to FM on 550 CHNO, Sudbury, Ontario, wants to move to 103.9. 620 CKOY, Timmins, Ontario, would like to move to 104.1. 680 CKXG in Grand Falls, Newfoundland, wants to move to 102.3. 700 CKRD, Red Deer, Alberta, wants to go to 105.5. on 840 CJXX in Grand Prairie, Alberta. They'd like to move to 93.1. On 900 CHYC, Sudbury, Ontario, they want to go to 98.9. 1010 CKXD, Gander, Newfoundland, wants to move to 103.7. 1150 CKX in Brandon, Manitoba, wants to go to 101.1. On 1560, the only U.S. station under applications of interest, WGLB in Washington, Wisconsin, they would like to change their city of license to Elm Grove, Wisconsin. That is a move we've calculated of 24 miles. And on 1570, CKTA in Tabor, Alberta, wants to move to 93.3 FM. Several grants of interest on 850 WEEU, Reading, Pennsylvania, receives a grant to move to 830 kilohertz. They will have 5,000 watts daytime, 6,000 watts nighttime, different patterns day and night. 1540 KZMP in Fort Worth, Texas, they'll be changing their city of license to University Park, Texas. And on 1660 WWRU in Elizabeth, New Jersey, last month we speculated whether or not the FCC would break ranks and allow this station to apply for higher power at night and also a directional antenna system, and they have granted Elizabeth, New Jersey, to move to Jersey City, New Jersey, 10,000 watts day, 9,000 watts night, directional antenna at night. In fact, this will be a two-site operation. Under Otherness and 530 CKHL in High Level, Alberta, they have completed their move to 102.1. 710 KXMR, Bismarck, North Dakota, this new station is now on the air. 730 WYNI, Monroeville, Alabama, has returned to the air. 990, as we mentioned, WLHN in Muncie, Indiana. At the moment, they are silent. On 1010, KCTS in Berkeley Springs, West Virginia, this station was silent. Only for a very short period, they have returned to the air. 1060 KMCL, McLeansboro, Illinois, they have gone full-time by adding a mighty 2 watts at night. 1110 CKTY, Sarnia, Ontario, has moved to 106.3. 1150 CKCY, Coolidge, Arizona, this silent station, silent only for a few days, is back on the air. 1170 WWLE, Cornwall on Hudson, New York, has returned to the air after almost a year of silence. 1220 CJSS, Cornwall, Ontario, they have completed their move to 101.9. 1250 WREN, Kansas City, Kansas, is silent. 1250 WJIT in Savannah, Puerto Rico, this brand new station now on the air. 1360 WNJC in Vineland, New Jersey, their CP to change their city of license to Washington Township, New Jersey, is now on. 1360 WWLG, Baltimore, Maryland, this silent station, turned out they had technical problems. They were silent for just a few days. They are back on the air. 1400 WFOR, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, is silent. 1470 WLCR, Shepherdsville, Kentucky, as we mentioned, is back on the air under that new call. Also on 1470, CHOW, Welland, Ontario, their move to 91.7 FM is on. 1490 KOKC, Guthrie, Oklahoma, this silent station has returned to the air. They are presently relaying KNOR, the 1400 station. 1570 WIZK, Bay Springs, Mississippi, has returned to the air. 1590 WZUM in Carnegie, Pennsylvania, this station is silent. They will return later this summer when they have completed building their new transmitter facility. 1600 KOKE in Pflugersville, Texas, this new station is on the air. And in the X-band on 1620 KAZP, Bellevue, Nebraska, new station on the air. 1630 XEUT, that's right, XEUT, Mexico's first X-band station in Tijuana, is on the air. And on 1700 KQXX, Brownsville, Texas, another new X-band station now on the air. That wraps it up for this month. About 30 days from now, you and I will get together again and talk about more stuff from the broadcast band. Now, here's John Bowker.
Well, thanks once again, Jerry, and hello, everyone. Today, we're going to start a trip across this beautiful country with our radio dials glued to 1590. But, just before we get in the car, I'd like to, again, say a big thank you to Skip Dabblestein out in Arizona and Ernie Holt up in New York and Mark Strickert in Illinois for all the IDs they've been sending into the travelogue recently. That's really great, guys. Thanks so very much. Now, let me tell you about our new need. This will be something new. In December this year, the December edition of the DX Audio Service will have a travelogue containing as many of the new X-band stations as we can pick up as a club. Of course, some of them are real easy to get, but others are nearly impossible because of where our members are located. So here's the best thing to do, I believe. If you can get a nice, clean ID from an X-band station, 1610 to 1700, will you send me an email telling me which station or stations you might be able to supply us? Don't send in a tape of the station, because I'm just afraid I'm going to get a dozen of one station and none from another, the way it could be, and that would be embarrassing and all that. Now, I'll reply to you promptly and tell you what to do and what the deal is completely. My email address is WA2WEN, N is in November, okay, at JUNO.com. Now, I know some of you don't have email, and for that, I guess we'll have to use just a one-way telephone. Now, we can't return all the calls, but if you'll leave a message as to what stations you can get cleanly at 419-228-4199, just leave a message. We'll get back to you as promptly as we possibly can, and again, we'll tell you how to proceed and everything about it. So let's see how that works for now, and then later on we'll change things if that isn't working too well. Okay. So, hey, we're back to the travelogue for August 1999. Let's go up to the Granite State in Bruce Conti's backyard, for heaven's sakes, for openers on the August 1999 DX Audio Service Travelogue.
Clock will not start until they snap. We'll pause for station identification. This is Mutual, your network leader in radio sport.
This is your favorite radio station, WSMN, Nashua, New Hampshire.
Okay, and not all that far south of Nashua is the state of Rhode Island.
You're listening to Life-Changing Radio for southeastern New England, 1590 AM, WARV, Warwick.
And as we make our regular hop, skip, and a jump across the Hudson River into the Empire State, we nestle into the Finger Lake District, the southern part thereof.
Your time is WPHH Elmira Heights, Horsehead.
From ABC News, I'm Doug Limerick. It's now up to President Bush.
And we'll stay in New York State for a few minutes, and we'll go up to the north end of the Finger Lakes.
Auburn's only locally owned radio station, 1590 WAUB, Auburn, New York.
Good morning. It's 8 o'clock and 56 degrees in Auburn. I'm Colleen Ward, WAUB News.
Okay, Colleen. We'll proceed on, and just outside Rochester, New York, we learn about boating on Lake Ontario.
15 to 25 knots, average waves 3 to 5 feet, which is where they are right now, as a matter of fact. It's 55 degrees in Brockport, and you're listening to WASB in Brockport, the bright spot on your radio dial.
Radio News. Good morning. I'm Howard Dykens.
And if we go down to the relatively more peaceful shores of the Allegheny River in southwestern New York State,
Democratic candidate Nancy Barger, join us then.
Your gold authority, WGGO Salamanca.
From ABC News, I'm Gary Nunn.
All right, good morning, Gary. And down into the Pennsylvania Commonwealth, right near the Steel City out west.
Until Labor Day weekend. Perfect time for a late summer picnic. We're at the hour of 11 a.m., reminding you that is Gruen Precision time of 11 a.m., and you are listening to Western Pennsylvania's Christian Connection, WPLW, Sunshine 16, Carnegie, Pittsburgh.
Okay, and as we come east into the Cumberland Valley, we pick up on a joint ownership situation.
This is WGLL Mercersburg Greencastle, WCBG Chambersburg, 92.1 Gold, and 1590 WCBG. Good morning, Cumberland Valley.
We come to the middle of the state, just a little distance north of Harrisburg.
Voice of Mount Carmel, WMIN.
Now, this next station was booming into our room at the Newcastle, Delaware National Radio Club convention a couple of years ago. Hey, you planning to be with us over Labor Day? Gee, I sure hope so. We can see what comes booming into West Virginia.
Hi, I'm Kevin of the AM 1590 Oswald Radio Air Force, and you're listening to AM 1590 WPWS, Chester, Philadelphia.
Alarm clock show is on the air, broadcasting live from here to...
Well, less than an hour's drive south of the Wilmington complex where we were is the city of Baltimore. And, frankly, a bit too far for a clean recording is the amusement park in the Glen Burnie, Maryland area.
This is Errol Broadcasting, WJRO, 1590 AM in Glen Burnie, Maryland. World News from the Associated Press Radio Network is next.
Okay, we were right in the middle of Richmond, Virginia when this next station decided to ID for us, and I thought that was very thoughtful of them.
Oh, yes, the wood! Oh, yes, the wood!
WFTH, Richmond, serving Petersburg and the Tri-Cities area.
You know, we didn't used to go through Richmond. They had a bypass around the city, but now they've done away with all those toll booths. There were five of them in the greater Richmond area along the interstate, and those are all gone. So things move very well along the Richmond corridor now.
There's always a better country song in music country. WHPY, Clayton, Garner, Smithfield, Raleigh.
Yes. We've made it to the Tar Heel State, indeed, and our dials are still locked at 1590, and we're going to stay here in the Bible Belt for a little while.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. We're WOKX High Point, worshiping our King Christ with music.
You know, actually, High Point is known as the furniture capital of the United States. Nearly all the big furniture manufacturers have display plants right there in High Point. My wife went crazy there once.
WOHN Shelly, WGNC Gastronica, WCSL Cherry, the V-Box Superstations. Michigan suicide doctor does it again.
We were listening for WCSL in Cherryville from that collection of stations. It's just northwest of Gastonia or Charlotte. They're kind of close together. Okay, and now we'll go just a little bit south of North Carolina. I wonder how many of you remember that song.
Thank you for tuning in to Star Time, 1590 AM, WCAM, Camden, Lugoff, and Elgin.
They're all in South Carolina.
CNN Radio News. I'm Mike Cunningham. A judge has warned seven photographers who were chasing Princess Diana's car that they may face trial in connection with her death.
Oh, boy. That was recorded right after we left Newcastle from the NRC convention 2 years ago. Now, this next ID has always interested me since we recorded it because of the places this station claims to serve.
Serving Chickamauga, Villanelle, the Ormerchie Valley, and all of Northwest Georgia, this is Q Country, WQCH Lafayette.
Lafayette, not Lafayette, you notice. Not in Georgia. Well, we're going to swing down to the southwest corner of the state at this point, into Albany, Georgia.
We go to the ninth. The Polecats need one to take the lead. We're tied at two. You're listening to Albany Baseball on the Polecats Broadcast Network.
Stay tuned for Rush Limbaugh in his entirety after the ball game here on Team 1590 WALG Albany.
Ninth inning of action, all tied up at two, and I am not Rush Limbaugh.
You wonder how stupid he must have felt moments after saying that. At least I hope he felt stupid. My
partly cloudy
sakes.
Skies with high of 69 to 70, lows in the upper 50s. I'm Stacy Reynolds reporting from WPUL's News Desk. Have a pleasant day.
WPUL, South Bay, Tonga Beach.
Oh, yeah. Hey, did you notice how clean the air got all of a sudden? With the breezes of the Atlantic? Oh, boy. Well, if we go a little bit south of Daytona, perhaps an hour's
every
worth.
Day from 5 to 6 for Treasure Coast Afternoons, the new radio magazine show.
We'll have live interviews with local newsmakers.
Local events.
Theater.
The arts. Treasure Coast Afternoons every day from 5 to 6 with me, Mike Melton.
And me, Patricia Christensen, on WPSL.
The talk of the Treasure Coast.
It's time for Mutual News on the talk of the Treasure Coast. WPSL 1590, Port St. Lucie.
Okay, let's skip across the Florida Peninsula now, and this is how 1590 sounded one fateful day.
Star 16 WRXB, St. Pete Beach, Tampa.
This is AUN News. I'm Jay Harris. Dozens of adults and children are nursing wounds this hour after a powerful explosion at the Oklahoma City Federal Building just moments ago.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, once in a while, I think it's good to keep those top news items just to help date the recording. And, you know, you could tell that that newscaster hadn't caught up with the enormity of the problem, the explosion at the Murrah Building in Oklahoma City. Well, what do you say we move out of the Sunshine State now and go get a weather report from up around Tim Hendel's area there in northern Alabama?
Currently in the Shoals area, it's 89 with hazy skies at WVNA AM 1590.
WVNA Tuscumbia, News Talk 1590.
I'm Bob Aronson for Gordon Elliott, who is wrapping up the last couple of days of a two-week vacation. Gordon will be back with you on Monday, and we have on the line Claudia Adcock, who manages the Ponderosa, a nudist ranch near Dallas, Texas.
Oh, near Dallas. I was wondering why Tim Hendel had moved to northern Alabama, but nah, I guess not. All righty. Now, you know, it's interesting to look through the list of stations that we have on tape, and there are over 12,500 recordings, in fact. But I think we have maybe 23 from the state of Mississippi, and that tells you something about where our members live.
AM WZRX in Jackson, Mississippi. Los Angeles Police Chief Darrell Gates says that he will not...
We have time for one more station on this segment of the travelogue, and so we will tentatively cross the border into Tennessee and see what they sound like at 1590 on the dial.
This is WDBR, Afternoon Radio, Springfield, Tennessee. Time for a quick look at headline news.
Well, anyway, that's going to do us for this month. Next month, we'll tiptoe back with more legal IDs from stations broadcasting at 1590 on the dial. And of course, we'll be in West Virginia at the Bridgeport Convention, too. And gosh, I hope you can be with us, really. But either way, after the September tape that you'll get, we'll be right back here around the 1st of October with some sounds and memories of the Bridgeport shootout, convention. And to help tide us over in the meantime, let's visit with Bruce Conti and the DX Digest. Bruce?
The talk of New Hampshire, AM 1590, WSMN, Nashua.
Different show.
USA Radio Network News, this is John Scott.
Hello, DXers. Welcome to the DX Digest. I'm Bruce Conti.
Hi, this is Tom Rothschild from Hagerstown, Maryland. Just had a thought about a question you raised recently in the DX audio service. You're talking about 948 hearing a religious station. I wonder if that could be WKGM in Smithfield, Virginia. They have 3,000 watts at night. And I can hear them here fairly regularly in Hagerstown. And, you know, Houston, Mississippi is a lot further away, and I have a lot less power.
Thank you, Tom, for the suggestion. I've actually heard WKGM on 940 since CBM Montreal went off the air. Overnight at times, I've heard two unidentified religious broadcasters battling it out on 940. But because they run half-hour or hour-long ministry programs, the only opportunity for station ID occurs at the top of the hour. Of course, Murphy's Law of Station IDs states that the top of the hour is when these stations will momentarily fade out. More recently, though, it's been a different story on 940, dominated by Mexico and Puerto Rico overnight. Let's check out 940 while Montreal, Canada remains off the air.
You're
welcoming to the new home for the NASCAR Motor Racing Network. Catch all of the action with the Winston Cup and the Busch Motor Series right here on the Twin Towers of Hot Talk, 940 and 1310 WORC Worcester.
WORC coming up the second hour, G. Gordon Liddy, but all of that follows ABC News as you hear each and every hour right here on 1310.
I'm John Belmont. He seems very small and quiet for an accused serial killer. The alleged railroad killer was back...
That's WGFP Webster, Massachusetts on 940, relaying WORC Worcester. Heard daytime at my location. Interesting that the only ID is WORC. At sunset, WADV, Lebanon, Pennsylvania, appears on the frequency.
WADV, Lebanon.
WADV signing off. Next to surface at 940 kilohertz is WIPR San Juan, Puerto Rico. Later at night, La Tropicu, XEQ Mexico, takes over the frequency. And here's one of the religious stations in a brief fade-up over XEQ.
And the resurrection state of being from a dark tower, being referred to him as being son.
In addition to the religious stations, now I have an unidentified country music station on 940. The ID sounds like Classic KC Country 940.
Classic KC Country 940. I left you this morning.
That was heard in the wee hours of the morning between 8 and 9 hours UTC. Do you know who it is? Your help via the NRC DXAS email reflector or the musings line would certainly be welcome. 940 has been the most active of the three clear channel frequencies recently abandoned by the CBC. Let's drop down to 740 kilohertz for a listen with CBL Toronto off the air.
This is 740 WJIB, Cambridge, Boston.
WJIB urges you to practice the four R's. Reduce, reuse, recycle, and respect our planet and its natural resources.
It's 1 o'clock.
740 WJIB. My daytime regular at 740 is WJIB, Cambridge, Massachusetts. When WJIB reduces power at sunset, WGSM, Huntington, New York, takes over, relaying WHLI.
$1,100 and $740 with the music of Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Jordan, Stone Cold Dead in the Marketplace, and Nat King Cole. We also heard from Earl Palmer, the Earl Palmer Trio, and something they used in that movie, The Fabulous Baker Boys, Lullaby Birdland, Ruby and the Romantics, and then Sammy Davis Jr. with Hey There, all here on WHLI. Favorites through 9 o'clock tonight, and then we're on the web at www.whli.com.
If you work in a steel beam, concrete, glass, high-rise, anywhere, Jericho, Hop Hog, Outlandia, Hempstead,
White Plains, Midtown Manhattan, Great Neck, Queens Boulevard, Wall Street, Princeton, anywhere. WHLI on the net is there when you want us to be, anytime, 24 hours a day, every day, everywhere in the world. Just click us on and your computer becomes a radio playing the great standards of yesterday and today. WHLI.com.
Great adult standards on the great stations of Long Island. 1100 WHLI and 740 WHLI, where it is so cool to listen, baby.
He's in love with Mary Manson, a girl.
In accordance with the rules and regulations of the Federal Communications Commission, WHLI Radio now ends its broadcast day on the air. Join us again on your radio at 1100 and 740 on your dial tomorrow morning. And now you may enjoy more WHLI music on the net at www.whli.com. And now, our national anthem.
WHLI, Hempstead, Garden City, and 740 WGSM, Huntington.
AP Network News, I'm Brian Thomas.
After WGSM signs off, 740 becomes a radio station shooting gallery where just about anything can pop up. It used to be that CHCM Marystown, Newfoundland, relaying VOCM would dominate, but I believe because of solar activity, CHCM has been weaker than usual, leaving the frequency open for stations like this recent catch, WMBL, Morehead City, North Carolina.
From the forties to today, for the world's most beautiful
Also at 740, another unidentified station I'm working on has been tentatively ID'd as WSBR Boca Raton, Florida, heard with what sounded like a dual station ID. Perhaps one of our Florida DXAS members can tell us if WSBR is relaying another station. Finally, let's check out 690 kilohertz, formerly the home of CBF Montreal. This has been the least active of the three former CBC frequencies. Over the winter, Colombia's Radio Recuerdos and Cuba's Radio Progreso dominated. Now in the middle of summer, Dr. Gene Scott is heard on a weak signal from Anguilla, parallel KAIJ 5810 kilohertz shortwave. This is 5810 shortwave. And now 690. And back to shortwave. Summertime DXing on 940, 740, and 690 kilohertz. CKVL and CIQC have been granted approval to move to 940 and 690 respectively, although the CBC has reportedly voiced an objection as there were plans to start a new French language all-news service on one of the two frequencies. No word yet on what will happen to 740. More next time on the DX Digest. I'm Bruce Conti, 73 and good DX.
On this month's band scan, some Midsummer Madness. This is Mark Dernberger. DX Audio Service listeners know that we like to take our receivers everywhere we can across this great land of ours. Next month, we report from the Ludington Ferry on Lake Michigan. But this month's column is set aside for a few fun features of interest to listeners of all ages. Ask a DXer how he or she got started listening to radio, and you'll discover most of us had something in common. We started as kids, and we quickly learned that the best AM radio listening was after dark, usually late at night. For most kids, that meant after bedtime. And since necessity is the mother of invention, that meant we had to design our own parent-proof listening post. For those of us who have been there, we dedicate this mini-production called Under the Covers.
I got into nighttime reception, of course, when I was a kid. You know, with the radio under the covers.
I'm listening to it late in night.
Remember that you can take your radio entertainment with you wherever you go.
I remember taking my favorite radio to bed with me every night.
And one of the exciting things was saying goodnight to your parents and going upstairs and having your radio.
When my mother would make me go to bed, they'd tuck me in and I'd reach over on the floor. Lift up the little transistor radio, put it under the pillow.
Putting it under your pillow and turning it on. And I used to put it under my pillow.
But I had my little transistor radio.
My first real radio was a Zenith tabletop, which I then took to bed and dragged under the covers.
And since there were no air plugs or anything, I would sort of bury it in the pillow, my ear right on the speaker.
I remember very, very late at night, putting the blankets over me and the pillow so that nobody would hear it and listening to the radio. If anybody opened the door to check on me, they couldn't tell that there was a radio going.
I turned it on so no one would see a light.
I got my radio, I turned it on. You gotta wait maybe 8 days.
I would be trying to sing along, and then once in a while, the radio would go out of, like, the airwaves would go away, and you'd go... And then you'd hear, wing away, wing away, wing away, and you'd go...
Spreading the gospel. And then I'd, there's good news. Spreading the gospel.
It was, like, really difficult to listen to. But I never got caught listening to the radio at night.
Of course, my parents didn't know that.
No one else was there. No one else heard it but you.
Radio Luxembourg would come on with its top 20 Sunday nights.
The big events of the night was always the top three.
And this was like the Bible. This replaced church. If you didn't listen, you were not cool. You were not in. You couldn't go to school.
I think that came on usually around 11 or 12, and that's when reception was at its best in those days.
It was neat to lay there in bed and hear those stations from so far coming through the cold winter night.
What a thrill it was to get distance.
And I was checking out WBZ and KDKA.
I sat in Chicago and got Jada from KDKA.
How about the time you got fired from WGN?
I'm having a good time and I fell asleep. With the radio on.
Of course, that usually happened to me. I'd fall asleep with the radio on. And usually when I woke up, the radio would have been mysteriously turned off. I'd like to think that I turned it off myself, but I have a hunch it was my mom, though she never said a word about it. I also know that sometimes when I fell asleep, I missed some momentous events.
I must have fallen asleep and then wakened because the music stopped and there was some kind of urgent voice coming on.
And radio offers the finest in up-to-the-minute news.
That there'd been a terrible plane accident. And Buddy Holly and Richie Valens and the Big Bopper were dead. And it was, like, devastating. There I was, 10 or 11 years old, in the middle of the night, all by myself. I couldn't share it with anybody because then I'd be in trouble for listening to the radio. And you fall asleep and you wake up and hear the static in the morning and know you were still friends.
Boy, does that bring back memories for most of us, I betcha. And yes, that was the familiar voice of our friend and longtime Bandscan editor Jim Snowbarger. The sound out of those old tube radios was semi-awesome. I remember the first time I found that some AM stations sounded much clearer when I tuned slightly off the center, and then found that the sound of the station would vary as the tubes warmed up and the radio tuning drifted around. It was wizardry.
Just magic. Wow.
Well, one day I did come to figure out what was going on with the tuning and the tubes warming up and why I could make a station sound so much brighter. And I know you'll understand when I tell you that once I got the technical explanation, some of the magic went out of the experience. And nowadays, when I try listening under the pillows with my Sony digitally synthesized radio, it just isn't as much fun. But nighttime radio under the covers as a kid was something I'll always remember.
I hate to say it, but it changed my life.
Next, some pirate radio of a sort. A couple of dozen years ago, the FCC was trying to reinvigorate an ailing emergency alerting system called EBS. This was happening about the same time FM was beginning to emerge as a new, powerful, yet still uncontrolled medium. And many of the guys who developed FM started in freeform or underground radio operations. And for them, discipline was not a part of their vocabulary. Yet there was an innocence of sorts, since this was long before the shock jock era when so many immature idiots think they have to be obscene to be acceptable. Back then, a major challenge to authority was making fun of the FCC's efforts to promote the EBS test. To understand what follows, you have to remember that the old emergency broadcast system consisted of a 22-second tone followed by an alerting announcement. The very formality of the procedure invited mockery. This is what some Southern California radio guys did to the EBS test.
All right, men, it's time for the big test. Let's hope it works. This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test. Yeah! Broadcasters of this area, in voluntary cooperation with the FCC and other authorities, have developed this little system to keep you informed in the event of an emergency. If this had been an actual emergency, you would have been instructed where to tune in your area for news and official information. This concludes this test of the emergency broadcast system.
Remember, this was only a test.
So there you have it, the Radio Renegades version of the EBS test. My recollection is a bit unclear, but I believe several broadcasters ran this and consequently had their fingers slapped. Finally, on our August Midsummer Madness, some super long-distance DXing. A Mars bounce in 1939, 60 years ago this summer. Ever since the H.G. Wells novels and Sir Percival Lowell's announcement that a series of lines he observed crisscrossing the planet were really canals, people on Earth had been given to wonder if there really might be intelligent life on Mars, and more importantly, whether we could ever communicate with Mars. In 1924, as Mars and the Earth came closer together than they had been since 1804, there was renewed interest in listening for radio signals from the sister planet. Quoting now from Thomas White's work, Extraterrestrial DX, circa 1924. Thanks to the march of science, Earth now had a powerful new communications tool, radio. Millions had witnessed the miracle of capturing signals from half a continent away. Transatlantic signals were being received with regularity. Would not a Martian civilization, builders of a canal system far beyond the capabilities of humans, be thoroughly versed in the advanced use of radio? On earlier passes close to Earth, Marsmen may have attempted to communicate, but we weren't listening. Now, today, in August 1924, Earth and Mars would come to within 35 million miles of each other, and perhaps for the first time, the Martians would find us listening. End quote. The publicity surrounding the alignment of the planets led to a series of listening tests, as people across the country vied to be the first to hear some super long-distance DX. Broadcasting and wireless stations were urged to shut down and go on listening watch at regular periods. Few complied. Reception was all they could try at that time. Transmission toward Mars in 1924 was considered an impossibility. No one believed a big enough transmitter could be built to actually send a signal toward Mars. But by 1939, the march of technology had led some folks to believe it was worth a try.
The planet Mars, ironically enough, made one of its periodic approaches to the Earth, coming as near our planet as it ever does. Millions saw the pink star hanging low in the east, and WOR's special features division tried a unique experiment. No one knows whether it is possible to send a radio signal through the dense atmospheric layers surrounding the Earth.
In 1924, RCA engineers had calculated that it would take a 1 million megawatt transmitter to pass signals between the planets, and that in any case, the ionosphere surrounding the Earth would stop the signals. In the 15 years between 1924 and 1939, radio propagation came to be better understood, and there were some engineers who now felt it was worth trying.
WOR engineers tried to do it, and ambitiously set about preparing an attempt to transmit those signals directly to Mars, hoping they would strike that planet and, bouncing off, return again to Earth. The attempt was broadcast to listeners throughout the country, and many of them will remember the tense scene at the transmitter when the WOR announcer told them all was ready.
Now, engineer Charles Singer will press a key, and the dots and dashes that you will hear will be picked up as they are transmitted from a special antenna beamed at Mars. All right, here we go. Signals are on their way, and if they have penetrated through the Kennelly-Heaviside layer, a magnetic layer some 50 miles to 100 miles above the Earth, it is reasonable to believe that they will continue on through space and strike Mars.
Well, the 1939 Mars bounce signals were on their way, and now came the wait for the return bounce.
Across the country, people listened, and then the minutes ticked off.
While we're waiting for the return signal from Mars, it's interesting to note that this same WOR had established a Sirius listening post during the 1924 alignment and had reported hearing a series of Morse code-like dashes which were never explained. But let's get back to our 1939 listening watch.
All right, I'm going to take a look at the clock now and see how much more time we must wait before our 6 minutes and 28 seconds are consumed and we may expect to hear the signal flash back to Earth if we're lucky. How much more time? Let's see. 45 seconds to go before we should hear the start of the signal as it was sent out from here just a few minutes ago.
Still waiting. Remember, this Mars bounce was tried just a few months after the famous Orson Welles War of the Worlds broadcast, and a lot of folks would not have been surprised had they heard signals returning from Mars.
So let's pause now and wait. You'll be patient and see if we hear the signal return. Experiment, the signal failed to return, and so we're going to conclude this broadcast in which we have attempted to send the signal to Mars and back to Earth.
Boy, he dumped out of that in a hurry, didn't he?
This is the Mutual Broadcasting System,
WOR, Newark.
And there you have it, dear DXers, a bit of fun radio stuff, and a bit of a departure from our usual band scan, and hopefully you found it entertaining. This is Mark Dernberger in Minneapolis. We'll be back next month to continue our regular band scan series from the fantail of the Ludington Ferry on Lake Michigan. Until then, good listening, DXers.
Thanks, Mark. And now let's go over to DX News Magazine for some comments and such before we flip over to Side 2. First of all, National Radio Club member John Wilson, who is handicapped and has been confined to a care home for 13 years, would appreciate the donation of an up-to-date shortwave receiver to replace his current aging receiver. You can contact him at area code 302-998-0181, extension 512, for more information. Paul Swearingen would like to put together a review of the CC Radio. That is the Sea Crane Radio, co-designed by both Sanjian and Crane Electronics. Paul says he's seen both positive and negative comments about this receiver. Here at the DX Audio Service, we asked C. Crane if we could demo one for about 10 days and have not received a reply nor a radio. But Paul would like to compile some comments from National Radio Club members who have been able to use this radio and put it into a comprehensive review. Keep your comments brief and to the point, let's say under 200 words, and be as factual as possible. Deadlines for submissions will be August the 10th, and you can send them to Paul Swearingen, S-W-E-A-R-I-N-G-E-N, at 2840 Southeast Illinois Avenue, Topeka, Kansas, 66605-1427. Or you can give Paul a telephone call at 785-266-5707. Prepaid, please, and during a sane hour of the day. You can also email Paul at the following email address, plsbcbdxer@aol.com. On our DXChange, Mark Marino at 40 Webb Street, Apartment 1W, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409, is offering an original Super Radio 1. The AM works very well, but the FM has poor performance. $25, please. Plus a Radio Shack 12-603 AM-FM radio in like-new condition for $25. You can also contact Mark at the following internet email address. His address is London1, L-O-N-D-O-N, number 1, at megsinet.net. And if you have something to buy, sell, or trade, pop it on a card or a letter and send it to us here at the DX Audio Service, and we'll publish it on the DX Audio Service and also in DX News Magazine.
It's time for a pattern change. Or at least to flip over your tape for more of the DX Audio Service.